Welcome to Voices of Courage. I'm your host, Ken D. Foster. Throughout history, people have asked some profound questions. Are we alone? Are we guided by unseen forces? Do angels truly exist? Are there spiritual beings that walk beside us, offering us wisdom, protection, love, direction? And if they do, how can we recognize their presence in our lives? Beyond these questions lies even a greater one. Is it possible to live free from unnecessary suffering? Not a life without challenges, loss, or disappointment, but a life where pain no longer defines us, where love becomes stronger than fear, compassion replaces judgment, and our deepest purpose begins to unfold. Perhaps the greatest transformation any of us can experience is this shift from living through the eyes of a personality to living through the eyes of the wisdom of the soul. When we awaken to that deeper awareness, our relationships change, our choices become more intentional, and we begin to see every experience, even our greatest hardships, as an opportunity to grow in love. Today, we're going to explore these extraordinary questions. We'll discuss angels and spiritual guidance, unseen dimensions of consciousness, the power of love and compassion to transform our lives, and whether lasting inner peace is truly possible in a world filled with uncertainty. Well, I'm going to introduce my guest because, you know, few people have helped shape the modern conversation about consciousness more than my guest today. Again, Gary Zukav is joining me again today. Gary, thank you so much for coming back for another segment with us.
It's a joy, Ken. I enjoy our conversations very much.
I do too. We're having some really, really profound conversations here. And I'm in gratitude for you. For those of you that don't know Gary or haven't seen our other two series with him, for decades he has invited millions of people to look beyond appearances and discover the deeper purpose of the human journey. His timeless teachings have encouraged people around the world to replace fear with love, reaction with awareness, and limitation to spiritual growth. Gary is a New York Times bestselling author of Seed of the Soul, one of the most influential spiritual books of our time. His work on authentic power, emotional awareness, and attention and evolution of the human consciousness has touched the lives of millions of people around the world, including yours truly, right here. Through his books, his teachings, and decades of conversations on the Oprah Winfrey Show, Gary has become one of the world's most respected voices on spiritual transformation and so much more. He's written another book that I'm really aware with, and so much more, Gary. You're a treasure house of wisdom, and I appreciate you being here.
Thank you, Ken.
Today, I'd just like to kick it off with a discussion on angels and our guides, or you know, our guides or angels or entities. We have a lot of different names for them. Where would you like to start with that? Because I know you've had some profound experiences with the other side, with souls of very powerful teachers.
Yes, I have, and I discovered there's no other side.
Let's start there. So where are the sides? Maybe there's an energy frequency or vibration difference, because most of us can't see the angels, although some people can.
I don't see this angel. My first experience with non-physical entities began after I wrote a book called The Dancing Wu Li Masters, which was about quantum physics. And it won the American Book Award for Science and was published widely. And sometime after that, I had broken up in another relationship, which really wasn't a relationship because mostly all of my interactions with women were sexual, and that's all they wanted from me. So I was breaking up with one and in some pain. And I wound up in the Anza Borrego Desert. I had received an invitation to speak at a conference in Stockholm because of the Dancing Woolly Masters, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to go. I couldn't even get on a plane. I was a mess, which I would say a lot of frightened parts of my personality were active and dominating.
Yeah, I've been there before. I know what that feels like. Yes,
I know you have. So I went to the desert. An old woman gave us her house, just a cinder block, rectangular house on the sand. And I spent weeks there. And in that time, I learned to understand my dreams. And at the end of that time, I realized I can go to Sweden. I can talk. So I did. I was one of four presenters. Another one was Edgar Mitchell, one of the Apollo 14 astronauts and the founder of the Institute for Noetic Science, and Peter Kostenbaum, a philosopher. And we got from the airport, we were driven to an elegant hotel in the woods, and the conference organizer greeted us. They said, "Welcome, welcome to Sweden. All the big companies are here, Volvo, Saab, the banks, the telecoms, and I have a surprise for you." So he took us all into a room, and there was this middle-aged man and his son, and he channeled an entity named Ambrus, who says he's a 3,000-year-old Egyptian. I was jet-lagged and really tired. All I just wanted was a room. I didn't have any interest in this. But the next morning, Jan came back and said, "You can speak with Ambrus anytime you want." So I went in. There was Ambrus. There was the medium who became Ambrus. And the first thing Ambrus said was, "How did you learn how to understand your dreams in the desert, Ken? No one knew I was in a desert, much less what happened there. How did Ambrus know that?"
Wow.
And he started to talk and he said, "A little flame has been ignited in you. It's like a candle in a cathedral, and you need to keep the flame alive, or it can go out." And I said, "It can go out?" And he said, "Yes, you could fall." And I said, "Well, how do I keep it alive?" And he said, "You need to want to talk to people." I said, "Ambrus, that's what I can't do." So we talked more, and at the end of our talk, he took one of my hands in each of his, and he said, "Will you talk to people?" And it wasn't a directive, and it wasn't a leading question. It was a question. And I thought about it, and I realized, yes, I'll do it. And I walked out of the room directly into a group of people who were conversing right in front of the door. I mean, the universe gave me a chance to implement a decision I had made 20 seconds earlier. So I went home. Then fast forward a little bit, and I found, a woman who I was attracted to, and she was attracted to me. It was at a conference on states of consciousness, sponsored by the Menninger Clinic in Topeka, or Elmer Green, who was a faculty there. And it was delightful. It was drug-free, peer-reviewed, grant-sponsored scientist interested in this field. And I met this woman, and we began to connect. And then we decided to see each other more. Then we decided to move together. Then we decided we'll get married. And one day, early in this process, she came to visit me when I was staying temporarily at a home. And she said playfully, "I channel a non-physical entity. Would you like to meet it?" And because of my experiences with Ambrus, I said yes, because that was transformational. And I said, "What is this non-physical entity?" And she said, "He says he's an angel." And I said, "Well, does the angel have a name?" And she said, "He says you can call me Genesis." So I met Genesis. It was the same powerful first interaction and every interaction. Ken, the first, I had a question that I wanted to ask Genesis. I wanted to say, Genesis, I can't stop thinking about having sex with women. I can't stop looking for sex with women. I can't stop having sex with women. And I have herpes. Will you please help me?" But I didn't have the courage or the clarity to ask him that question. So instead I said, well, I've had some experiences I want to ask you about, and I have an ailment that perhaps you can tell me about. And Genesis said immediately, let us move into healing, shall we? And he answered the question that I didn't ask, but I had in my heart. And we talked a long time, all day. And he said, Gary, the issue for you is not sexuality. The issue for you is the nature of love. And that immediately took all my concerns into a much broader, richer context. And we continued to talk into the morning. And he said, and the issue is more than the nature of love for you. The issue is the nature of power. I was trying to keep up with Genesis, but I was having a hard time. What did this have to do with power? I just wanted to know, why am I hurting? Why can't I stop having sex with women? And can you heal my herpes? But he kept talking in these ways. And I knew that I was hearing things that were genuinely important to me. So my friend, I was living in a different part of the country than I, and I was visiting her later. And we stayed together for off and on 2 years. I mean, we were still living in different parts of the country. And at the end of that, things began to unravel. Our engagement unraveled, I think primarily because of me. And I was distraught because I would not only be losing her, I would be losing Genesis. And I was on my way driving back to her house one evening, and I had a thought. And then immediately I had another. Genesis put this thought in my head. I bet he did. I bet he did. I could hardly wait to get back and talk with him. Yes, he said, I put that thought in your mind. Now, can you remember the voice that you heard when you heard that thought? And I tried to do that. I had a lot of voices in my head. And I said, yes, yes, I can. And Genesis said, well done. Communication is established. Oh, me you will not lose. And I never have. That was about 40 years ago.
Wow.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
The station that makes you feel good.
When Genesis was talking to you about the nature of love, what is the name? Let's talk about the nature of love. I in my world, love heals everything. I don't know of anything that love does not heal in its earth plane. But getting to love and understanding the nature of love sometimes is very difficult.
I agree with you again, Ken, on everything. In fact, Linda's favorite quote from The Seat of the Soul is, eventually you will come to understand that love heals everything. Love is all there is. Getting
well, that thought just came downloaded to me, so I would sense that Linda is right here with us in that. Yeah.
Yes, and there's nothing that's not. It's this new consciousness initially is one of a transformation from the old consciousness, limited to the five senses, seeing power as manipulation and control, to the new consciousness, which is not limited to the five senses, which means we can know that we're personalities and souls at the same time. We don't have to ask about that. And sees power as alignment of your personality with your soul. Well, power is love. This is when I say authentic power, I'm talking about love. So that is our curriculum in the Earth School, in my opinion, is love, how to create love. And also in my experience, it's impossible. You can't create love. You are love. Everything is love. The universe is love. The Earth School is love. Your experiences in the Earth School are love. Even fear is love masquerading as fear. There is nothing that is not love. Everything is love, even though your life is painful. So what is love? It's what you are. But that's not satisfying to somebody who's not looked inside themselves and not created authentic power. Can I take a moment to show you how to create authentic power?
Yeah, let's do that. That's awesome.
Okay, when you have a painful physical sensation, don't look to the world. Look the other way. Look inside. The old consciousness looks to the world first because it assumes that the world is responsible for its pleasure and its pain, but it's not. It activates internal dynamics in you, and they create your pleasurable and blissful or excruciating and painful experiences. And these inner dynamics are what I've been calling frightened and loving parts of your personality. So when you change them, now you've got traction. How do you change them? That's creating authentic power. The first tool is emotional awareness. And emotional awareness, as we've spoken about this a little bit in the last session, when you feel angry or jealous or resentful or insecure or superior or inferior or obsessed or addicted, these are all frightened parts of your personality, including an addiction. That's your most powerful frightened part. That's the part that's most out of your control. But it's a frightened part like any other. And you can deal with it like any other. So you look in your throat, your chest, your solar plexus, and you look for physical sensations. So when someone says, what are you feeling, Gary? If I can say, well, I'm feeling a stabbing sensation in my upper right chest and a band across my chest that's contracting and it hurts, and I feel a pain in my throat at the bottom, and I feel a constriction. It's about the size of a golf ball. And it hurts, and I'm feeling pain in my jaws and in my solar plexus area just below my sternum. I'm feeling a burning across the top of it. That is emotional literacy. If you just say, I'm feeling good, I'm feeling bad, I'm up, I'm down, that's not helpful at all. And in fact, if that's all you can do, you're an emotional illiterate. Emotions are very important in creating authentic power. And that's why emotional awareness is very important. So you know, in terms of your body and your mind, what a frightened part is that you're challenging. Now, when you challenge a frightened part, that doesn't mean you're going to war with it. It simply means that you are going to experience it intimately. That's where emotional awareness comes in. And then you decide not to be controlled by it any longer. That's the challenge.
So let me give a concrete example of this. So let's say someone has an addiction to alcohol. And, you know, when things, they have to go out and speak at an event, and they're deathly afraid of speaking. So they'll use the alcohol to calm their nerves, calm their anxiety, so that they can go and speak. Just one example of a million ways that people might use an addictive substance for them. So how does that play out? All right. So now, you know, I want to go, you know, I've got this event. I've got to go speak. I've got to calm my nerves. How do we turn that within? Because like you said, society says, well, you know, go grab a beer, or go grab a medicine, or go get, and society's, you know, it's all outside yourself. But that never heals the inner person. That just masks over the symptom. So how do we go within? What's your advice there?
Well, this is what we're talking about. Once you know what the frightened part of your personality feels like in these areas of your body, you know what it's thinking, then you use your free will to put yourself in a loving part, a part that's grateful or patient or content. And then you feel what that is and what that part is thinking. Then you decide to speak and act from that part of your personality while you're experiencing the frightened part. That's the moment of creating authentic power. That's when it happens. And it's not simply an event, it's a process. But as you do this again and again, the part of your personality that you're challenging begins to lose its control over you. So now let's go back to your example of someone who's got to talk and they feel that they need a drink to prepare themselves. It's not the talk that caused the need. That's not an addiction. The talk is an excuse to drink again. The addiction is a powerful, cannot say no, got to have it. You mentioned in your earlier podcast that you medicated. Well, sex was my medication. Some people, it's shopping. Some it's gambling. Some it's food. Some it's drugs. This is the most powerful part of your personality, frightened part of your personality. So healing it or moving beyond its control requires just what every other part of your personality that's frightened requires. And that's, by the way, in my experience, somebody who's healed an addiction has accomplished the highest spiritual accomplishment. And when someone says to me, Gary, I've been sober for 6 years, oh, I'm in awe. If they say 35 years, I'm in awe. If they say 6 days, I say, keep it up. Keep it up. Call me if you want to talk about it anytime. These are powerful, frightened parts of your personality. So it's not the talk that makes you want to drink. It's the addiction. And it doesn't make you want to drink. It demands that you drink and you become in pain when you don't. That's what the drinking is for, is to mask the pain. So,
yeah, and we become dependent. And when, once we become dependent, we lose our perspective as to, we rationalize that a lot of times you rationalize the dependency and therefore you blind your eyes to the truth. But somewhere inside of us, we always know the truth, because there's always a sense of what is it? Anxiety, stress, something underneath the surface that's always there. It doesn't seem to go away until we learn whatever it is we need to learn to grow past it, as you mentioned. And, you know, it's interesting because I think sometimes, Gary, people identify with their personality, that's who they are. This is who I am. You know, I'm just, you know, I'm a tough guy, or I'm a drinker, or I'm a this, I'm a that. So there's this false identity that goes along with these addictive qualities, is what my experience has been.
Yes. From a five-sensory perspective, your identity is with your personality. From a multi-sensory perspective, your identity is soul. But as you keep moving in the direction that the new consciousness is moving us, you begin to acquire other identities as well. I'd like to go back for just a moment to something I just passed over, which was healing an addiction. There's a chapter in The Seat of the Soul on this. The addiction that I used was sexual, but you can apply it to any addiction. And in this process, it was necessary for me to really explore. It was the person, the woman who introduced me to Genesis, that said, you've got a problem. And if you want to stay with me, you better fix it. And I said to myself, well, no, I mean, I don't have a problem. I'm a loving man. When I'm with a loving woman, we make love. Isn't that how it should happen? And she said, you've got a problem. And if you want to stay with me, you better fix this. You've got to fix this. So I started by saying, okay, if you want, maybe I've got a problem. Okay, it's a little problem. Well, it's a little bit bigger problem. All the way up to, my God, I can't stop. I'm out of control. That's when the healing begins.
So it's the acknowledgement that you can't do this on your own. You acknowledge that it's there. It's there and you can't stop. And that's is that what you're saying? That's the first awareness that now I can start to do something about it.
Now that's what I feel. Not that I can't do anything about it. The awareness comes with, I'm the only one who can. Yes. This isn't going to stop unless I stop.
Unless you stop, yeah.
So I started that process, and I learned so much about myself in it. For example, I found it, is it possible for me to make a temptation that's too strong for me to resist? Yes, it is. This would be my unconscious way of giving myself permission to behave unconsciously. I learned so much, and I reached one place, Ken, where I realize that there's no punishment in store for me if I continue with my addiction, and there's no reward for me if I don't. And there's nothing in me leaning me in one direction or the other. I'm there alone. This was the most terrifying experience of my life. And I realized, I look around me, there's no one in the room. I'm here. What am I going to choose? I can choose either one. No reward, no punishment. What do I choose? I chose to stop. I didn't have to. I chose it. And I realized in that moment, the power is completely in my hands. Completely in my hands. That moment that I saw in my journey through my addiction, into my addiction, through it and out the other side, was a preview of where we each stand each moment. We are powerful and creative, compassionate and loving spirits. We are choice. Choice is our essence. We're talking now about the heart of this thing called temptation. Temptation is not created by an external entity like the devil, as Christians might look at it. Or do look at it. A temptation is a masterpiece created by a frightened part of your personality that is showing you exactly what it's going to do if you don't intervene. It is the universe's gracious way of allowing you to see a negativity that's brought into your awareness that is going to cause you pain and giving you an opportunity to choose otherwise before you act and your energy spills into the energy sphere of others. That's the moment that karma is created. That's the moment that energy becomes matter. That's the moment that one of many possible lives becomes your reality. Temptation, the very nature of transformation is the dynamic and gracious experience of temptation.
Yeah, and what comes up for me as you're saying that, it's a choice to be a slave to a habit or a slave to an addiction, or a choice to have authentic power, freedom from that addiction. Complete freedom. What did complete freedom for you from the sexual addiction feel like? How did it feel like to you?
First of all, it didn't happen overnight. And I even told one of my teachers, I'm still tempted. And he said, not really, Gary. You're tempted by the idea of the temptation. If you look at yourself, you'll see that you're not able to use another human in that way anymore. And I realized he's right, and there was comfort in that. So what my point is that in the Earth School, we have personalities. Being in the Earth School and having a personality are identical. You can't be in the Earth School and not have one. And in my experience, since I've been creating authentic power, and I do as well as I can, sometimes better than others, sometimes much better than others, and sometimes much worse. But having a personality means the Earth School is a domain of duality. Are we ever going to reach a place where, in the Earth School, we don't have any temptations, we don't have any pain? Temptation is a dress rehearsal for a negative karmic event. Or is that never going to happen to us again? I believe, I've been told, there does come a time of cessation. One of them, for sure, is the moment you die and you return home to non-physical reality, where neither time nor space nor matter nor duality nor fear exist. But in the Earth School, it's my experience, Ken, as someone who's striving to create authentic power, that I've got a distance to travel. But I know the roadmap now, and I'm driving the car, and it goes where I decide to go. If I'm longing for something because it's an emotional need, I can drive there, and the need's going to intensify, and it's going to push people away. Or I can drive toward my own freedom, my own sense of health and meaning, put it that way.
You know, it's been my experience that this earth plane is designed perfectly. And, you know, if we don't pay attention to our challenges, let's phrase it that way, then it just gets a little worse and a little worse. It gets more painful. It gets more and more painful. And eventually we wake up to this place where it's very painful to live in this fear or this persona that is delusional. And I'm the reason I'm saying that is because I think that pain is such a wonderful tool that we get to embrace, because when we're there in that place of pain, you know, it's, I don't know if it was you or someone else said, you know, cancer is a wonderful gift when you're diagnosed, because now you know you have something to deal with, right? Now you know what it is, so you can deal with it. And I think we don't have to get to that place. We can notice as we wake up more and more to authentic power. We notice these areas in our life that are just out of balance. They're out of harmony. They're out of sync. And inside of us, when we get real with ourselves, one of the things I like to do every evening is ask what worked, what didn't work, what can I improve here? When we start to notice, or whatever question you use to start to notice what's going on, then we can start to do something about it. And my experience is that I have moments and days and weeks and months. I live completely pain-free, which is, that was nothing that I'd ever experienced early on in my life. It was always drama, trauma, a lot of challenges. So what's your experience with this? How do you frame this?
Now you're coming to the heart of the new consciousness. As I've begun to understand more and more, I reached a place where I, first of all, needed to simply say no to my intellect. It would object strenuously. That's self-contradictory. That makes no sense. That's impossible. But yet it was happening. For example, I am a unique expression of the universe, and so are you. More than that, I am the universe, and so are you. There are countless realms, and I am each and every one of them and all of them, and so are you. This is not anything the intellect can accept, use, grasp, or experience. It was designed to work with the five senses in the pursuit of external power. So that is one thing. The time has come for the cessation of understanding and to focus instead on the giving and sharing of joy. Have I reached a place of pure joy? Oh, God, I wish I had. No, I have not.
But you have moments.
Challenging.
But you have moments of it.
I have more than moments. Sometimes I have days of being in a frightened part.
Yeah.
But I can challenge it now. And I know from everything that I know that if I don't, it's not going to change. And there's no punishment for that. Except not changing, and it hurts.
But you also have the moments of joy. You have the moments of bliss. You have the moments of being a presence that is expansive and just a sense of peace.
Yes, I have discovered, first of all, I can't express this because somewhere along this way, the word I disappeared. For example, I suggest to you and our listeners that you are your perceptions. Consider that. They're not happening to you. They're not coming to you. They're not going on in you. You are your perceptions.
And did you replace I with we or just let it go? How did that happen?
I didn't do anything. I just realized there came a point when I couldn't find the me anymore. I couldn't find I. I is a construct of multisensory perception that contains your consciousness. As you move in the direction of the new consciousness, your consciousness begins to contain the Earth School and some beyond it as well.
Gary, you just delineated between the new consciousness and multisensory consciousness. Is that one and the same, or is that something separate, would you say, as we talk about it here?
Well, the old consciousness is limited to the five senses, and the new consciousness is not. And the first experience of the new consciousness is the ability to recognize, distinguish within yourself between love and fear, and choose love, no matter what's happening inside of you or outside of you. That's what's happening now. That's the big headliner. This new consciousness is happening very fast, within a few human generations. And within another generation and a half, I feel, everyone will be multisensory, but not authentically powerful. That's a potential that needs to be created. And I have been working on that because my life before was so painful. It was just sex, drugs, women, motorcycles. But I did some other things. I wrote a book that on quantum physics. I left a small town in Kansas. I graduated from Harvard. But it was not a happy life. Until I learned about authentic power, my life was just leading me onward. Now it's bringing me again and again to choice points. So I don't have control of my life now. I'm not responsible for what's in it. I'm responsible for my choices. And I suggest that to our listeners. Your life will bring you where you need to go. You're not responsible for what it brings you, except that as your awareness expands, your intellect becomes utterly useless. At the same time, everything that you experience is a karmic necessity. So if you're thinking, this is a really difficult life I'm living, who wrote this script? You did. And at the same time, you can hold on to the reality that everything that you experience serves your spiritual development. And that is your reality. And if you hold on to that, then you can use that. And then the goal becomes not getting rid of pain in my life, but using it as it was designed to be used, to draw my attention to a part of my personality that I need to move beyond the control of in order to love.
I love that.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating,
being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, okay, that leads me back to where we started, with angels and entities and love, and being able to bring that into our world in a greater and greater way.
Well, that's a choice. That's a choice. Genesis showed me so many things, but it never said do this or do that. In fact, it told me, no non-physical teacher can assume your karma. That's for you to decide. But the teacher helps me, the way hopefully we're helping people who are listening to us, not to say, this is right, this is wrong, but there's a new consciousness, and you have it. And here's some of the ways you can recognize it. You know you're more than a personality. You know you've got choice, and you know the choice is always graphic, love or fear, bliss or pain, meaning or emptiness. These are different ways of saying the same thing. Yeah. And you are all of that.
Yeah. And you know, it's that piece where we expand love till we become we're like the little wave in the ocean. When we become the ocean, of love, there is no karma. God has no karma. So there's no karma there. It's pure love. I think that's what we're all striving for. And whether we know it or not, we're I don't know if strive's a word, but we're moving towards
that. Yeah. I think, I feel I'm trying to move toward that. And in the process, I've learned something startling. I am that. I am love. So now it's my choice. I love people. I love people. This is what I woke up to after Linda's soul went home. And I believe that I woke up to it because I set the intention not to waste one bit of that pain, not one bit of it. I didn't create authentic power until this happened to me, but maybe that was. And that's what happened 2 days later. And now 4 years after that, I am who I am.
Yeah.
And I'm sharing it now in the best way that I can.
Well, Gary, we're just about out of time, but you know, truth has a way of resonating within all souls. And when you hear it, you feel it, you want to live from it. And that's been my experience with these times we've spent together on the Voices of Courage here. The courage it takes to be in authentic power, all of us have it, all of us possess it. It's interesting with courage, my experience of courage, it doesn't show up until you walk into the unknown. But when it does show up, there's an energy about it, there's a feeling, a vibration, a presence, and we become, as we practice courage, we become unstoppable.
Yeah.
Unstoppable, walking into love again and again and again.
Yes. If you look at it, for me, courage is only necessary when a frightened part of my personality is active.
Yeah.
And that's why it does take courage to create authentic power, because you're challenging the control of a frightened part of your personality, whether it's need for sex, anger, jealousy, competitiveness. That takes courage and commitment. and compassion and conscious communication and action. And if you're interested in any of these things, if I can say to your audience.
Yeah, please do, yes.
Please visit me at seatofthesoul.com. That's the name of the book, S-E-A-T of the S-O-U-L.com. There's courses, there's books, there's free stuff. There's a lot of things there. I hope that it'll help you and would be beneficial to you and stimulate you to explore what Ken and I have been exploring deeply for yourself.
Well, I want to let my listening audience know again, that's seatofthesoul.com, seatofthesoul.com, seatofthesoul.com. Gary, thank you. Thank you for this time we spent together. Oh,
pleasure, Ken.
I just love our conversation. So it's, I never know exactly where they're going, but they always seem to go in the right direction to hopefully bring some more love in this world. So appreciate it.
Oh, it's good talking with you, Ken. Thank you.
And I want to thank all of you for being here today and joining Gary and I for these conversations. Encourage you to pass them on to your friends and family and the people that you love so that we can all together collectively upshift the consciousness within our own minds. I love what Gary said, you know, you're no longer living from intellect. Let's live from our soul. Let's live from our heart. All right. Take care till next time.